Welcome to Vaginas, Vulvas, and Vibrators with Jordan Donnell. This is a safe place to learn about women's health and sexual wellness. I'm your host, Jordan Donnell, physician assistant, women's sexual health educator, and intimacy coach.
On today's episode, we are talking all about intimacy and infertility. It is Infertility Awareness Week this week, and I thought this is the perfect time to have this conversation. We are talking about what to do if you're on this journey, you're struggling, or if you're just kind of looking for some new ideas. It's actually a super juicy episode, so hope you enjoy. Did you know that less than one third of women understand their reproductive hormones and how they work? But that's not you anymore. Period Power is going to teach you all about your hormones, how to work with your body rather than fighting your body, and really how to partner with your body to optimize your work, sex, dating, intimacy, literally everything. Period Power is something that I have been working on behind the scenes for a long time, and it has helped me step into partnership with my body and learn how to optimize my hormones to have a more energized, productive, happier life. And I want that for you. Join me in Period Power starting May. To learn more, go to periodpower.jordandonnell.com. Joining me today is Pamela Joy. She is a Somatica certified sex and relationship coach, and she has a master's in counseling psychology with over 1,500 hours of additional training in the field of sexuality. Through her writing, speaking, and coaching, she works collaboratively and experimentally with clients to increase their capacity for emotional and physical intimacy. Pamela is also a trauma-informed sex positive therapy certified practitioner. Her education includes a focus on marginalized populations, including trans, bisexual, queer, and non-monogamous, open, and polyamorous communities. Pamela is also passionate about raising awareness within medicine and mental health communities about the positive impact of peer support on female sexual health, and recently presented her research on this topic at TEDx in Palo Santo. I am so excited for her to come join us. She has gone through her own infertility journey and is willing to share her experience as well as her experience as a sex coach dealing with this. Right now, it is Infertility Awareness Week when this episode drops, and I have talked about infertility before on the podcast in great detail, and I think that it is really important to talk about how sex is impacted with infertility and how intimacy is impacted, because when you're trying to conceive, sex is scheduled, it's structured, and it's goal-oriented. So it can get kind of like boring and unfun, and honestly, I find that a lot of couples just dread it. So I would love for you to maybe just tell us a little bit about some ways that you found sex and intimacy are impacted by infertility.
Yeah. So I love how you're like, yeah, sometimes in the fertility journey, it's like, oh, we have to schedule sex. We're supposed to have it at a certain time when we ovulate, right? And that makes sex scheduled, which has sometimes some added pressure elements. Maybe anything we do under pressure maybe is not as enjoyable as it might otherwise be, or maybe just not well-timed with when we might be in the mood. And then there's also people who have gone far in their infertility journey to the point of having to do IVF or something like that. And it's almost like the opposite thing there. You're told not to have sex during specific parts of the process. And so there's kind of this weird thing of like, yeah, but now is when we would maybe want to have sex, or we're feeling in the mood and we can't connect in that way, or it needs to be protected or something when maybe you wouldn't normally do that. So there's, I think there's a range of experiences. And for some people, it can be also exciting, right? It's like, oh my gosh, we have to have sex and we're going to put this energy and this effort towards it. So I do think there's not like a one size fits all, but it has some similar feelings to, I work with a lot of couples with desire discrepancy, and similar types of things show up in that just non-fertility journey around sexuality.
Yes. I love that you brought up the fact that sometimes they're told not to. I always tell my patients, so my regular job, I actually work in REI as a physician assistant or physician associate, I guess they changed the name. And I tell couples that at this point, it's recreational. Like once we start treatment, it's all recreational and that we're doing all of the work at this point. So you're right. It totally changes depending on where you are in your fertility. How can couples spice things up if they are experiencing infertility and finding that having sex is no longer fun for them?
Yeah, it's such a great question. And again, it's just like, even outside the fertility journey, right? You're like, if this is a successful thing, you're going to have kids. There might be times when sex isn't fun there too. And so I think there's two parts to that in my mind. One is like the internal work, kind of like separate of the relationship and the physical act of having sex. When maybe you're not in the mood or you've got to go now, like where there's a lot of pressure, first, it's really helpful to kind of go inside and be like, wow, I own my own turn on. So let me think about what are the things that get me in the mood? What do I need as a precursor? What do I need during? For example, for me, being relaxed, actually thinking about sex throughout my day is a way to kind of prime that pump, if you will, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, like that's right. I do like to feel good in that way. And then during sex, right? This, you might need some assistance, right? Whether it's maybe you guys have fun and do some role playing because you like the energy that that brings, or maybe you want some roaming. Maybe you want to bring some fantasy into the equation or watch some porn. Maybe you want a very specific type of touch. So there's kind of like the before, during, and even after, maybe sharing with your partner something you really enjoyed about that experience. So it kind of cements, oh yeah, this is or can be a pleasurable thing. It's almost if I have a great ice cream cone, but I'm like running around my day and I don't pay attention to the fact that it was good, I might be less likely to return to that. I mean, it's ice cream, so maybe not, but.
Yes. And I think you brought up a really good point in that kind of setting the scene, all of those foreplay type things. When you are dealing with infertility, you don't just have to go to the bedroom and pee in the V. Like that's not how it works. Like you can still have the connected touch, the connected time together, all of those things that you mentioned. And I think that so many times in our culture, we think of sex as penis in vagina and that's it, penetration only. And the reality is that there is so much more to explore. And even when you're on the infertility journey, like you don't just have to go straight to the act of having penetration. You can still enjoy all of the other aspects of that.
Yeah, that's such a good point. Like we do, at least in our culture and many cultures, define sex as penis and vagina, right? That's how we think about it. Or maybe we define it as ending by like male orgasm. It's a pretty common way that people think about it. And yeah, to expand the definition, maybe tonight we're going to hang out on the couch and make out like we might have in high school. And then maybe even hold off on penis and PNV. And yeah, it doesn't have to be. In fact, I think that's a lovely, I don't know if I have my little models. I don't. They must be over there. But I've got like the model of the clitoris. And the interesting thing about female anatomy is for many women, I would say probably even 80% of women, that the most enjoyment that they occur is not necessarily during penetration. So I think this is something, again, important both inside and outside the fertility journey, is to remember that there are a lot of other ways that women receive and feel pleasure. And so to explore those is helpful. And I also want to normalize, because the fertility journey is, it can be such a difficult journey. I also want to normalize. And if it is just like an act and you're just going to devote 10 minutes to it and you're not going to think about anything like, hey, this isn't a pleasure seeking activity right now, we're going to get pleasure in other ways, that's also okay to not put so much pressure on yourself that now has to be the time that we explore all these other like wonderful, delicious things that we're talking about. It's just like, okay, there's a seed. If I want to do those things, I can. If I want to turn myself on with a bubble bath and a toy prior to my partner coming in, I can. If I want to read a romance novel and whatever, watch 50 Shades, whatever it is that kind of like gets your pilot light lit, you can. And if you also just want to be like, hey, let's get this over with and then let's go have ice cream, right? That's also okay.
Yeah, I love that you normalize that because I think that it is important that for some people, they are just going to want to go to the penetration and for others, not. And it really is about what fits you as a couple best. So I love that you pointed that out. If there are listeners who are listening to this and they're struggling with intimacy and infertility, where do you recommend they start to help improve their intimacy on this journey?
Sure. So full disclosure, I had both historical problems in my own personal sexual life. I definitely came from this place of not being connected to my sexuality and in a long-term relationship and struggling with that. So I had a long personal journey in even discovering these things myself. And then I am currently on a fertility, infertility, whatever we want to call it, journey myself. We've done 3 rounds of IVF. I'm 45, so they have not panned out as much as I would love them. And we're actually in the donor egg process. So I'll speak here both from like a personal experience as well as professional, because I work with couples around sexuality. And, you know, I definitely was, it's funny, this is my profession, right? I've got like so many books about sex behind me. I've got a drawer full of toys here. Like I know how to access my sexuality and my turn on. And still, when I was doing the shots every day, when we were even before that, when we were trying to conceive and you're like, oh my gosh, it's go time, you know, oh, let me pee on the stick. It didn't work. Like my hormones were all over the place and I lost touch with just kind of that natural desire and arousal showing up, right? So the first thing that someone who's in that space can do is to say some really kind words to them. For me, the not kind words looked like, you're a professional. Like, why is this happening to you? You should know better. Or like, why aren't you in the mood? Just be in the mood. Like, it's a great partner going through all this stuff with you. And so that's not the greatest words to be saying to yourself, right? So to turn instead and say something like, wow, so many hormones coursing through your body, right? You're on this emotional roller coaster. It's go time. It's not go time. It's like, and to say, it makes sense that your libido might be out the window right now. And if you want to, you can do something about it. Like our ability as humans to actually tune into and cultivate desire is something we can do. So the additional kind words I have to add to myself on top of that is to be like, and that's okay. It's okay that it's not just like showing up like I would love for it to be like it is in the movies. And instead it's something that I have to, you know, put that novel on my nightstand and read it for 5 minutes, download the Dipsy app off of the app store and listen to some really great erotica, to schedule a date night where I dress up and feel into that sexy part of myself. So, you know, I think that first part is just really be kind to yourself, give yourself permission to either just be with it or permission to do something to cultivate it.
I totally agree with that. I talk with my clients a lot about giving themselves grace because there's so many things happening in our bodies, especially as women, all at the same time. Hormones are shifting. When you're doing the fertility journey, you have lots of hormones going on at the same time. And learning to give yourself grace for when you may not feel your best, you may not be interested in sex. You may have low energy. And when you have low energy, that doesn't mean push yourself through it or just giving yourself grace for how you are actually feeling. And so I love that you brought that up. The other thing that I think is important to touch on is that as coaches, a lot of times we started this journey because of our own, or we started this line of work because of our own experiences. And it doesn't mean that we know everything, and that it doesn't mean that we don't also still need a coach sometimes. And it doesn't mean that we have the best sex ever all the time. And I think that that's also really important to normalize, because people always think, oh, well, you're a sex coach, so you know what you're doing. Well, no, it means that I went on this journey to explore myself and decided that I wanted to share that with other people. And it doesn't necessarily mean that just because you are a sex coach, you can't struggle too.
Yeah, I'm actually jealous of there's some sex coaches that are in the profession, because they're like, yeah, like I've always just like really been in touch with my sexuality, and I love talking to people about it. I'm like, wow, that must be so cool. And even they still struggle from time to time in their sex lives. And so definitely, yeah, for me, like the experience came from like I struggled, and the fertility journey has been a really good reminder that, yeah, there's going to be multiple phases of life. At some point, not too far in the distant future, I'm going to go through menopause, right? And then that's going to be another part of this journey. And so I do think about those fertility years as one phase of a lifelong journey with the opportunity to explore this relationship to my body, to my sexuality, to how that shows up in my relationships or in solo ways, you know?
Yeah. And I'd love to talk more about like what you did when you were going through infertility and felt like not having sex. How did you deal with that?
Yeah, it's tough, right? Because it's at some point, it's kind of like a little bit of an elephant in the room, right? Where maybe it's been obvious to your partner. And so the first thing for me was just say it out loud to my partner. Be like, hey, I don't know why. I'm guessing it's because all of these hormones coursing through my body, but I'm struggling to connect with that part of myself right now, and to share with them, like, I find this annoying. Like, I'm sure like it might be difficult on your end. You know, I think many partners these days are taught to be really respectful of whether or not someone is interested or in the mood. And so like part of my conversation was to be like, hey, like, I know, like, I'm sharing I'm not in the mood, but that doesn't mean I don't want to like engage. And you suggest like, hey, let's do a date night, or let's go to bed early tonight and not watch TV, you know? And so I think even sometimes things, when they're not said out loud, can feel really big and scary. But once said out loud in a vulnerable and request for like collaboration, can kind of take the edge off of. And so I think that that's, for me, that was really helpful. I think for a lot of people, that can be a scary conversation to have. But a lot of time, I think 9 times out of 10, when you have that, you're like, oh my gosh, that wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And that's true of anything, like almost anything you're dealing with in your relationship. If you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so scared to bring this up, and you like put it off, and it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger, like in your psyche. And then you finally just say it out loud. It's usually not even anywhere near this like difficult thing.
I think that's such a good point, because our partners are truly our teammates, right? And they want to support you, but if they don't know that this is going on for you, it makes it really hard for them to support you while you're dealing with that.
Yeah. And I think there's another flip side. I love how you're like, hey, you've got this partner here and they're supposed to be on your team. And I think when individuals and couples get stressed about something, they can kind of go into their own thing instead of seeing like, oh my gosh, I've got this teammate here. And so it's almost like the other thing I want to say here in terms of what you can do is to not focus on the fertility stuff so much, or in the focusing, have a lot of fun with it. Like I remember my partner did this really well. Our first like round of IVF where he had all these shots, he ordered like a doctor's coat off of Amazon and showed up for the first night of shots, you know, it's doctor so-and-so. And we had that song, like shots, 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 like that one.
Yes. Oh my goodness.
So we would like play that as like the theme song for that part. And so whatever it is, right? It's go time. Maybe you have the We Are the Champions music playing where you're like, okay, we got to have sex tonight, you know? Somehow either making that experience itself like lighthearted, or to also make sure that you're doing something in your life. Like one of the things that we have always found really helpful around like a fertility cycle is to plan something fun for after that cycle is over, when we're either going to like pee on a stick and find out whether it worked or get the results of some sort of embryo count or whatever, to have a trip planned that we're really looking forward to. It could just be a day trip. It could be a weekend trip. It could be once we did a trip to Maui, to have something you're looking forward to where this isn't the only thing. Because like when this becomes the only thing for me, my body's like rigid and like, that's not good for sexy times, you know?
I love that idea. And I think that having that expected time or that time that's scheduled for you to connect with your partner, no matter what the news is really helpful, because it could be good, it could not be good, but you already have that time away for you to connect and be there to support each other while dealing with whatever the news is.
Absolutely. It's definitely, we did it kind of by accident, one of our cycles, and we were like, whoa, this was so important. And we would usually like, most of that trip is like really good and happy. And then usually one day we're like, let's just cry about this, you know? And so it can kind of like encompass all of that and hold all of that. And also have you know, like life goes on and there's other things. And this is only one part of our journey. Same with sex. It's one part of our journey together.
Yes. So lubricants and infertility. I don't know if you can speak on this a little bit. Are there any that you recommend or don't recommend? Anything that we should look out for if we are on the fertility journey and needing a lubricant? Because let's be honest, especially if you're having decreased desire, decreased arousal, you're going to definitely want a lubricant.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I have lube in my office for all sorts of things outside of the fertility journey. And then when you get inside the fertility journey, it is a little trickier. And I think back to your earlier point of focusing less on P and V, right? Because there's a lot of sexual acts that don't require any lubricant to feel very good for both of you. And so part of my answer is, let's even throw aside lubricants for a second and just say like, hey, maybe this is a time where either one, spend some time to get more physically aroused and excited, have as many orgasms as you like, at least for her, if there is a her in the equation, right? Before the act, right? Because that certainly increases natural lubrication. And a lot of women, depending on the time of the month, or even if they're very aroused, still struggle with lubrication. So in those cases, like limiting the amount of time that those fragile tissues might be experiencing friction. And as far as like specific lubes, it's not something I'm super familiar with. I know there are some on the market. I've come across them in my own journey that are like advertised as sperm and can even like maybe assist them. And I'm not sure the particular names of those. And I'm also not sure, do you happen to know, is coconut oil sperm friendly? It's something that outside of the fertility journey.
Yeah, definitely would stay away from all oils because the oils are going to make it difficult for the sperm to swim. So I'd stay away from all oil-based lubricants, coconut oil, olive oil. That's all a no-go. You definitely want something that's water-based. Some things to look out for that are in lubricants that as listeners, they should be aware of is spermicide. That can be hidden in a lot of different lubricants. And if you're trying to conceive, you do not want a lubricant that has spermicide in it. Also, disclaimer, always ask your doctor because every provider is going to have a little bit different recommendation. Preferred, of course, is no lubricant, but that's not necessarily possible sometimes. And pre-seed is one that I know our office has on hand. There's pre-seed, and then there's one by Fairhaven Health. I don't know the name off the top of my head, but that's another lubricant that is meant for fertility purposes. I know like Pure Romance, Just Like Me, doesn't have anything that should impact the sperm. However, most labs will say that like all lubricants are going to have some type of impact. So go with the pre-seed or...
Yeah, in our journey, because it felt so unclear and we had heard about pre-seed, but really nothing else, like we did tend towards some of those other things I mentioned, just lots of pleasure, less penetration than maybe we would otherwise do, right? If we had, and sometimes people are fine with no lubricant and other people are like, no, I need like lots of that, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that I love your idea of like, hey, why don't we just limit the penetration to during the male ejaculation part or as little as possible, because those tissues are fragile. And then when you add, if you're doing the hormones, you add all of that in, sometimes that makes it even more uncomfortable, especially like if you've got bloating and then fertility, I'm not sure.
I was just going to say the bloat. Oh my gosh, the bloat. That's real.
Yeah. So fertility journey can a lot of times bring up body image stuff too, which I think impacts our desire as well. I find that with a lot of patients. Could you talk more about that a little bit?
Definitely. I'm in so many different Facebook groups of women going through this journey, and particularly for those who are on hormones. First of all, there's just the stress and the emotional part of it. So I think even someone who's not on hormones may be struggling with body image or weight based on that little ice cream that might help them feel better. And then certainly if you're on hormones, I've heard from most women, and I experienced this, like 6 pounds every cycle, just like clockwork. And it would really be those like last 10 days. And those pounds didn't go anywhere after. So when you're multiple cycles in, which many women experience, that can start to be annoying. It's maybe not the weight you normally see yourself at, no matter what that weight is, right? It could still be look totally beautiful to anyone's eye, but you don't feel like yourself. And I think the same kind of things that we were talking about before apply here, right? It's this grace that you talked about. It's these kind words to ourselves. I think for me, one of the frustrating things around it was like my first cycle, I was like, oh, whatever, 6 pounds. Like I'm on my way to getting pregnant. I'm going to put on 40 pounds, right? And so it was like, no big deal. But then three cycles later, I'm up 18 pounds. And not pregnant, and thinking, wait, 40 pounds on top of that. Oh man. So you can get kind of like a little, yeah, like that can be a frustrating thing. So again, the being kind to yourself. Also, if you want to cultivate desire, the reality is like doing that, kind of going inside and like lighting that pilot light, like that feels good. No matter your body shape and size, right? We all like that is a lovely feeling. And so I think that also kind of takes your focus away from that. My partner lovingly put on some weight too while we were going through the journey. So we both felt in it together. Very just in it with me.
I hear that all the time from patients that their partners put on weight too, and they call it sympathy weight. But I mean, also our partners are dealing with the stress associated with this too. And 100%. It affects them too. It's not just something that affects the woman, even though that's what we're primarily talking about a lot of times. Like it affects everybody. Is there anything else that you would love to share with the listeners as far as all of this goes? Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I just like to say you're not alone. There are so many other women going through these exact same things. Good for you for finding a resource and listening to this podcast. One of the things that I've enjoyed is every now and then in some of the Facebook groups, there's so many Facebook fertility groups, and there's also Reddit threads. There's, depending on whatever your platform is, there's a space for you. And I'm just my age, I'm on Facebook. And what I've appreciated in these groups is every now and then a woman will write a question about intimacy or sex or masturbation. And I'm always so grateful to that woman for doing it, because invariably there's 50 of the like best comments ever. There's like funny things and things that are tearjerkers, and it just this great reminder that we're not alone and that there's other women having the same experiences. Because sometimes it can feel like, oh, am I broken? Is there something wrong with me? And it's like, no, like what's happening to you makes a ton of sense. And here's probably a whole bunch of women with ideas for things that have worked for them that you can then see, will any of those work for me? Because, you know, we're all different.
I love that recommendation. And I think that it's important to remember that the more, like, in our society, we don't talk about sex and intimacy very much. And it's starting to be talked about more. But when it comes to sex and intimacy, period, a lot of people feel alone because we're not having conversations to hear how it's affecting other people as well and different things that they're dealing with. And so the more that you talk about this, not only are you going to potentially help yourself, but you're helping other people by sharing your journey, helping, like, just talk about it, really opens up those doors. So,
yeah, that's what, yeah, that I did research on what happens when women get together with other women to talk about sex. That was like my master's thesis. And it's incredible. Like, literally just asking your friends, like, what messages did you hear about sex when you were younger? Or do you masturbate and how? Or fantasy, like, yay, nay. Even just those simple questions can have like a double digit, like, quantifiable impact. And like, it lowers stress about the topic, it increases desire and arousal, it allows you to talk to your hopefully eventual kids about this in a much more embodied and easy way. So it's such a cool thing.
I love that you did research on that. That's amazing. I've actually been in my head kind of thinking about doing a group. I live out in San Diego, and I'm thinking about doing like a women's group just to get women together to talk about sex, really, and talk about their bodies.
I have free materials. You just go to my website and grab them. I give at least a few women a week will write me. I did a whole TEDx talk on this, actually. So anyways, yeah, I've got free resources for you and anybody else that wants to do that.
Yes. What is your website?
Down to there. So downtothere.com.
Beautiful. And that will be in the show notes as well. Where else can the listeners find you at?
If you Google Pamela Joy, which is my name, you will find all the things. There's blogs and TEDx talks and all sorts of things.
That is so awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today to have this conversation and really bring more awareness to intimacy with infertility. And I appreciate you chatting.
So nice, and love what you're doing with all of this. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is sponsored by Intimacy Coaching by Jordan Donnell. Have you ever desired more from your sex life, or feel like you're having good sex but curious about how to make it even better? Are you desiring a deeper intimate connection with yourself? Or maybe you are dealing with desire and arousal concerns, or struggling with communicating your desires with your partner. If you're hearing this and thinking, that might be me, and you're curious to learn a bit more, let's chat. I would love to talk with you more to see if working with me is a good fit for you. To learn more about intimacy coaching with Jordan Donnell, go to coaching.jordandonnell.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast.
Thank you for joining today and continuing to bring awareness to women's health. If you love the show, please subscribe so you never miss another episode, and leave a review for others to see. If you want to see me on the daily, you can check out my bio for links to all my pages. Be sure to share this episode with your girlfriends. Thanks again, and see you next episode.